Mark chapter 16, we've been looking at tongues and you. Tell your neighbor, tongues and you. Ask your neighbor, do you know the benefit of speaking with tongues? All right, we allow scripture to explain to us and to bring us into the fullness of those things that Jesus has given to us. Mark chapter 16, I'm going to read from verse 15 one more time. And it said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, but they shall lay hands on the sick, and they, that is the sick now, shall recover. I hope you know when you lay hands, you are not the one that recover. Amen. Let's get the pronouns well. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall what? Recover. Now, I want you to see something. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is the good news, the gospel to every creature. Now, again, what's the gospel? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the reason why we're looking at God's word from this angle is for us to understand something that Jesus said. These signs, plural. In the Greek, that's the word semion. It means indicators of a reality. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, if it's a sign and it's pointing to something, what it's pointing to is greater than the sign. And we need to understand. So, the sign is pointing to a reality, and the reality is pointing to is greater than the sign itself. Just like the signing of church is letting people know that this is not just a house, it's a local assembly. But the local assembly is bigger than signing. I mean, you understand that. So when you say this sign shall follow, Jesus is saying the message I communicated or committed to you to preach is a supernatural message. How does it work? Men will preach it, men will hear it, men will understand it, men will believe it, and they shall be saved. And the word saved is a compound word. It means to enter into certain realities. Now, when the person has entered, the sign Jesus speaks about, though they have a physical correspondence, are not necessarily physical. So how do you call attention to something that is likely unseen? That's why you need signs. These signs shall follow those who have been immersed into this reality. What are those realities? That's what we're looking at. Because if you understand the realities, you understand why tongues is very important. The argument, should I speak with tongues or not, will not even come up. Because tongues is a pointer to something bigger, something better. Tongues is an announcement that there's much more where you live and where you dwell in the spirit that you are yet to realize. That's what tongues mean. So tongues is not gibberish. It's not just a language. Tongues is calling your attention to a civilization in God. That's what tongues mean. So when we're studying more and more, so that the believer must be at home with the supernatural. I want to always God gave to us to be at home is to give us a language that would open your consciousness to who you are and to where you are. Because though you are in the world, you are not of the world. But there's a tendency to think you are of the world because you live and interact with the world every day. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. The question is, believe what? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. And let's read verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Notice, you stand in it. So that you have received it, and you're standing in it doesn't mean I don't need to reemphasize the truth to you. What do you teach? What do you preach to unbelievers? The gospel. What do you preach to believers? Also what? The gospel. So Paul is speaking after 14 chapters and is communicating the gospel to them again afresh. And he reminds them of salient facts about the gospel, which are very important. Look at verse 2. It says, by which also you are saved, or you have believed, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, except or unless you believed in vain. It says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Romans in chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. And let's read from verse 6. Romans chapter 10 from verse 6. We're looking at what did Jesus mean by these signs shall follow them that. What does it mean to believe? What do you believe? What have you believed in that sense? It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. For who shall descend in the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And I told us last week, when he read that phrase, the word of faith, that means the word of God's faithfulness. The gospel is the word of faith, is the word of God's faithfulness. That means the message of God's faithfulness. Now, in the Old Testament, it was a message of God's promise. In the New Testament, it's a message of God's faithfulness. It was a promise in the Old Testament, something they were looking forward to. In the New Testament, after the resurrection of Jesus, is a message of God's faithfulness. That is, what they were looking forward to, God has accomplished it. Say amen. So notice, the word of faith which we preach, notice, the word is nigh even your heart, the word of faith which you preach, look at verse 9. It says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that is, the word "and" is not a conjunction, it's an explanation. That is, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart, man believes unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So when you use the word salvation, I'm probably using the word redemption, that word is a compound word that speaks about all that God promised in generality has now come to pass, which is what a man believes to enter into and to receive. So go back to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 again. So you understand what Jesus was saying in verse 15. So when Jesus said to them, go into all the world, notice, and announce this good news. What is the gospel again? The word of God's faithfulness to every creature. In other words, it's now open to all of mankind. And look at what it says next. It says, he that believeth and is what? Baptized. And I said, the word believe and baptize are the same. The word baptize, the word baptism, that means to immerse. And now, what are you being immersed to? Into what you heard? What did you hear? A message of God's faithfulness. What God has accomplished. So in what he has accomplished, if you hear and you believe, you'll be immersed into that reality. And whatever that reality speaks of, becomes the way we describe you from that day forward. Let me say it again. Whatever that reality speaks of becomes the way we describe you from that day forward. So if that reality says you are clean or you are cleansed, then you are clean and you are cleansed. If that reality says you are sanctified, then you are sanctified. If that reality says you have ability to speak supernaturally, then you have ability to what? Speak supernaturally, right? Because you believed what you heard. And what you heard is the message of God's faithfulness. That is, God has been faithful. This should be your proper response to the faithfulness. So Jesus now said, these signs shall follow, which are indicators that you have entered into a reality. And the first thing it says is, in my name, which is another word for saying the gospel. Let me say it again. The name of Jesus in Bible terms speaks about the gospel, because name means reputation and accomplishment. What do we know you for? When we hear your name, what comes to our mind? If I hear the word Ronaldo, what I think about is football wizardry. If I hear Serena Williams, what comes to your mind? Thank you. So she's not the only one bearing that name. There are other people bearing Serena Williams. How come that's what comes to your mind? That means her name and lawn tennis are synonymous. Tennis, no, it's not tennis. They are synonymous, isn't it? Now, so in every field of endeavor, men and what they've accomplished, their name is synonymous with that accomplishment. The name of Jesus is synonymous to resurrection. That means in his name, just like it's written in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, says, and there's no other name given among me whereby I might be saved but the name of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. So when it said, in my name, he's not speaking about J-E-S-U-S. He's talking about the reality. What I've accomplished, what I've brought to pass. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're trying to expand the thought now. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The name of Jesus, what it means. It will help you to understand why this signs will follow. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. Notice, but as God is true, that's the word faithful. God has been faithful. How do we prove God's faithfulness? Our word towards you was not yes and no. As God is true, that is, this is the testimony of God's faithfulness. And because he has been faithful, we're bold to preach the word. And the word we're telling you, we're not telling you what if it may happen, it may not happen. No, God has always been what? True. He has been proven true. How was it proven true? Look at next verse 19. It says in verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timonius, was not yes and no, but in him was what? Yes. An eternal yes. Verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God, in him they are yes, and in him what? Amen unto the glory of God by us. That's the name of Jesus. All the great promises of God Not all, when you say all, the word all there means the great promises of God. That means the most significant promises of God. So there are many promises in the Bible. Some have to do with you personally. Most or a number, the prophecy of the prophets have to do with what God said he would do for humanity in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So Paul is emphasizing the great promises of God. Like the one you find in Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. The one you find in Ezekiel 36 from verse 24 to 27. That great promise of God, which is echoing the same thing. The one you find in Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, 28. Those promises, they are in Christ, yes and what? Amen. So while it was spoken, something for them to look forward to, Christ brought it to manifestation. So Paul says, as God is true, what is he describing? In Christ accomplishing what God promised, God has been faithful. Say, God is faithful. He has brought it to pass. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, in my name, in my reputation, my accomplishments, what I'm to be known for. And if you understand what I just said, now you know what the Bible says, that and he has been given a name that's above what every other name, that at the name of Jesus. You know, it doesn't say at the mention. At the name of Jesus. You can say at the instance of salvation. At the name. What is the name? Salvation. The name and salvation are synonymous. What is God's promise? God promised to save men. What did Jesus do? He brought that promise to pass. Now, if a man is saved, there will be signs. There will be signs to show he's saved. The first time he mentioned that, in my name, that is in what I have done. What did he do again? He saved us. Say, he has saved us. Say, I'm saved. Now, how do I know I'm saved? That's what he's talking about. First of all, by the testimony of the scriptures. And then he said, these signs shall follow the believing ones, those who have believed or those who are saved. In my name, this is very important. Listen carefully. Ask your neighbor, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you sure? Do you know what it means? Colossians 2, verse 13. We've been skipping that one before we went to go to tongue. We're skipping that one of, you shall cast out devils. And you, notice the past tense. When you're reading the epistles, be very careful about tenses. You, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened, that's old English for made alive. You were dead spiritually. You were physically alive, but you were spiritually dead. And when the Bible says somebody is spiritually dead, it means you are not participating in spiritual realities at all. Well, the one you're participating is in the other realm, the negative side. Just like a babalawo is spiritually dead, but is alive unto demonic spirits. But you are alive unto God, the Father of all spirits. So when it says you were dead in sins, or your sins separated you from anything that has to do with God, it says in uncircumcision of your flesh, you as he made alive together with him. Or his resurrection signified when you came alive. He says, having forgiven you in the process of making you alive, the same stroke by which he made you alive, he also forgave you all trespasses. Now listen carefully. Look at next verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was against that word contrary, and took it out of the way. How? By the cross, which is a sacrifice. Look at next verse. Oh, glory to God. Look at our shouting guy. Look at verse 15. Having spoiled pastors, principalities and powers. The word spoiled is only used for to rob, to disarm, to take away from someone whatever that person was depending on. Notice he spoiled principalities and powers. So they were ruling before. Then he disarmed them. To disarm means that he took away from them what they were counting on to rule. There was something they were using. What was that? Sins. So by taking away sins, you know, it's very interesting when people do drama and they dramatize Jesus in hell and Jesus is giving Satan an uppercut. Satan is his spirit. Jesus' body was in the grave. His spirit went to where? Hell. You see spirits giving each other uppercut. Spirit. You need to understand why the things of the spirit respond to words, because the battle that is fought in the realm of spirit has likely to do with words. Because spirits respond to words. They respond to oaths too. Confessions and declarations. That's what empowers or weakens them. When Jesus went to hell, how did he disarm? It's not that he met Satan in open combat just alone and started slapping him. You, be dead. No. To disarm means there was something Satan was using, which gave him seemingly a legal right that Jesus took away. If sin was Satan's legal access to man and sin is taken away, access is gone. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did. Access is gone. So having spoiled past tense, principalities and powers. He made a show of it openly. He did it in the unseen. How did he prove it openly? He took a triumphant train. You and I. He led us in an open procession to show them. These are the ones that were once held captive. They are now set free. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who has delivered us. Or who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance that belongs to the saints in light. Having delivered us from the what? Authority of darkness. And has transited us to where? The kingdom of, say, I'm no longer under Satan's dominion. I'm free from the enemy forever. I'm a master over demons. I'm a master over principalities and powers. I rule and reign in Christ Jesus. I'm seated together in the heavenlies. Righteousness is my armor. Holiness is my clothing. Hallelujah. Having spoiled, it has taken place already. Principalities and powers. I'm explaining salvation. So you know what the name means. So when you say, in the name of Jesus, the reason why it can't be refuted or refused is because of what that name means. The sound it makes in the realm of the spirit. So it's not just a pronunciation. It comes with understanding. The understanding is that you know, in that name I have forgiveness of sins. What is forgiveness of sins? Satan has been disarmed. He can't come here. I'm God's righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's my shouting ground. That's the name. This sign shall follow those who are immersed in that name. In that name, that salvation, that forgiveness of sins, they will stand before demons and cast them out. Then they shall speak what? With new tongues. They will speak a new language. They will speak with new tongues. Now look at Acts chapter 2. And from verse 1. Acts 2 from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jump with to verse 14. We're going to skip a whole lot here, but then it's important. Let's look at Peter's explanation. But Peter's tying up with 11. So they have been speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues. And the people came around, the cloud gathered. When the cloud gathered, they noticed they were hearing them speak their own language. What were they saying? They were magnifying God. But Acts 2:4 says they began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak with other tongues. Then Peter got up to explain the phenomena. Now listen carefully. The teaching of God's word moves you away from an occasional experience to a consistent walk. Let me say that again. The teaching of God's word, which is the explanation, moves you away from an occasional experience to a consistent work. In other words, without the explanation of scriptures, there are activities that will seemingly pop up because you are immersed into Christ that you'll not be able to continue because you don't know why it's there. Even when it comes to visions. So there are things that God wants to do. He wants to lead you and guide you into certain realities. The reason why it hasn't fully happened is because when you don't have understanding of spiritual realities, it's difficult to fully cooperate. You cooperate occasionally, sometimes accidentally, and you think God was in a good mood that day. You know that you are playing around with your inheritance. So your inheritance is something that opens up to you with the teaching of God's word. So Peter did not stop at the phenomena of speaking in tongues, which is what the 120 did. He did not need to explain to the 120 because they had already been taught by Jesus. It was the teaching that gave them the impetus to start speaking in tongues. They knew what they were doing. They were the church of Lord Jesus. They gathered together for the purpose of expressing that, but the new tongues itself was a means to an end because they spoke in tongues and magnified God. They spoke about the wonderful works of God. That's what they were doing. And the people began to hear what they were saying, but the people knew what they were saying was by inspiration. And they wondered, only prophets speak like this. How come we can see 120 people speaking this way? So Peter took their attention back to scriptures. And look at what Peter said in verse 14. Peter stand up with 11, lifted up the voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Don't miss what Peter said. Peter gives us the identity of those people that were gathered. They were men of Judea. Look at that verse 14 again. Hallelujah. Men of Judea and those who dwell at where? Jerusalem. They were all Jews. They were Jews. So hearken or listen and understand my words. The word hearken, that's the word akko. Listen to understand in my words. Look at next thing. What is Peter about to give them? He's about to give them understanding. What was happening? A phenomenon, an experience. There was a sign taking place. And a sign is a pointer to a greater reality. So Peter began to teach about that greater reality because in the teaching of the reality is the continuation of it. That's where the continuation is. The teaching brings continuation. Because the faith that he used to speak is a faith that carries interpretation also. Oh, praise God. You know how many years we've been having believers meeting and many of us still don't interpret tongues. Or interpreted and you were so high. You felt that, whoa, God was smiling even today. Without knowing that it's an inheritance. It's a faculty that never goes away. It's with you every day. It's how much you exercise yourself in it. What enables the exercise is knowledge and understanding. In other words, if I understand, I will know how to start. If I know how to start, I will know how to continue. If I continue, God is taking me on an adventure of a lifetime. There are things about my future that God wants to reveal to me. If I will speak the language of that civilization, something that's above the confusion of the heart, where there's peace that surpasses all understanding, where answers come to problems you are yet to even know exist. Oh, glory to God. He brought us to a place. Listen, Jesus said something in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but in me you will have peace. But be of good cheer. I've accomplished something that has overcome the world. I brought you to a place where you will have mastery at all times, in all seasons. That's what Jesus is saying. In other words, the resurrection is the yoke that breaks every yoke. It doesn't matter what the yoke is. It's the answer of God to every situation. The answer of God. That resurrection is a big deal. That is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the name of Jesus. You need to separate resurrection as an event from a reality that is ongoing. This coming weekend, people were celebrating. They were celebrating. What they were celebrating today now? Palm Sunday. So you're dropping palms. Yours is triumphant entry. That one is not. The one on Friday is one that's really wonderful. They will flog somebody on Friday now. Then I'm really asking the question. This person you are flogging, is he, first of all, is he Jesus? Number two, can he take away your sins? Number three, is his blood holy? It's like you are dealing with him for his own sins. That's what people are doing. As I'm flogging him. And somebody says, when you finish on Monday, all of us will meet at Galilee in Nigeria. You meet at Galilee in Nigeria. If you want to go to Galilee, why don't you go to the real Galilee? At least let's know that's where you went. But you are going to Galilee in Nigeria, and there's one, maybe one Cameroon somewhere. Let us all meet at Galilee. What do you want to see? Want to ask Jesus risen? No, his spirit in me is aliveness in me. Hallelujah. We move to be one beyond shadows and rituals. We're in the reality now. Hallelujah. We're in the reality now. The language you speak, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking of a reality. You are calling the attention of men to a reality. His reason is alive, and it's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. So Peter, standing up, these are not drunken as you suppose. So notice their conclusion. They must be drunk. And that's what happens when people don't understand the things of the Spirit. They must be drunk. Sin is but the third hour of the day. Listen carefully. You don't use logic to explain spiritual reality. Use scriptures. Use scriptures. Look at verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet. So Peter went back to the prophets. Who taught Peter to speak that way? It was Jesus that taught him to teach that way. Jesus will also refer to the prophets and the law and the Psalms to explain supernatural things. So Peter went back to the prophet. This is what was spoken according to prophet Joel. What did Joel say? It shall come to pass in the last days, saith what? God. So if it will come to pass in the last days, Peter was also saying, these are the last days. That's what it means. These are the last days. What was Peter doing about to explain the phenomena speaking in tongues? When will it come to pass according to the prophecy of Joel in the last days? What then will be the last days when Jesus is risen from the dead? That's the last days. That's what Peter is trying to say. I will pour out of my spirit upon our flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream what? Dreams. So Peter is using scripture to explain scripture. I'm going to show you something. Notice, your young men shall see visions, your young men shall see visions, they shall see visions. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Mark chapter 16. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 17. I want to show you something. Because when you don't allow scripture to explain spiritual things, you are going to come to very wrong conclusions. Peter, they said, these people are full of new wine. And yet, a reality was taking place. Something should be celebrating. They should be jumping that Moses' desire in Numbers 11 has just come to pass. They should be jumping, but they didn't realize it. So a spiritual reality can be so, and you are not aware. You are ignorant. Because the physical and the natural, though they are side by side, they operate differently. It depends on where your wavelength is attuned to that you're participating. I will never forget the testimony of Kenny Hagin, and he spoke about doubt and unbelief in the heart of men, and how God is always willing to heal. And he spoke about the particular person I was laying hands on. And I've already read the account of Wigglesworth also. Wigglesworth was not lettered. He wasn't educated. The only book he could read was the Bible. And he read every single day. And Wigglesworth was praying for the sick one day and said, he read James chapter 5. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And then pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Wigglesworth read it from James chapter 5. And he took it literally. Let him anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If he has committed sin, they shall forgive him. And the Lord shall what? Raise him up. Wigglesworth literally believed that Jesus would be there to raise the person up. So he lay hands on the person by pouring oil. He said, and Jesus appeared. And the person was raised. Literally. Evan Kennedy again spoke about an experience also about the particular man. He was wondering why is this man not receiving. So he was praying. He prayed for the man. He would see a slight response. The man would drop out. Then suddenly while he was still praying, he saw Jesus appear. And Jesus looked at him. And he saw Jesus motion towards the man with a gift in his hand. And each time he wants to get to the man will draw back. And Jesus said, I came to heal him, but he won't let me. So Jesus showed again what was happening behind the scene. But you just see the man. You wonder, and he was such a good man. I wonder why he died. You don't know what's happening in the realm. They operate side by side, but the realm you are more attuned to is the realm that you'll be functioning in. They are operating side by side. And Jesus has brought us into that realm. Hallelujah. I'm not sure. I have a greater secret in ministry than speaking in tongues, sincerely. And I'm not sure I do have any. He opens my eyes, he opens my ears when I begin to speak. It's the fastest way to exercise your spiritual senses. The primary way I enter the spirit, for me, to operate in the spirit, that's the primary way I operate in the spirit. It's the fastest way to be masked, your senses to be masked in reality, so that I begin to see what cannot be seen with natural eyes. And look at what this experience that Peter, James, and John had. They were in the inner caucus. Look at what happened. And after 6 days, Jesus taken Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, they appeared unto them, Moses and Elijah, talking with him. This was a vision. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make a 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When disciples heard it, notice they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man before you go and say rubbish. On the Son of Man be risen again from what? The dead. You don't have the vocabulary or capacity now to say what you saw. If you are going to say anything now, you say rubbish. Until my resurrection. What was so unique about the resurrection? John chapter 16, verse 12. Are you putting thoughts together? I need you to see why that part is so important. John 16, verse 12. See what it says about the resurrection again. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the spirit of truth, is what? Come. It will guide you into all truth. Question, when will the spirit of truth come? When will he come? After Jesus is raised from the dead. John chapter 7. I'm not going to assume now. I'm going to quote every scripture I can quote today. John 7, 37. Put the scriptures together, my sight can be clear. The journey upon which I've taken you and I've held your hand, I've taken you on an adventure, and there's been confusing moments and confusing times because attacks came. Now stay, study, learn, and understand my word to a greater degree, and the gift that seemed to be dormant will come alive to a greater degree, but with a much more finesse. That will be a blessing to more. It will not just be localized in small groups. It will become a blessing to the body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so where we're now? So, John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man let him come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, verse 39. But this speak ye of the Spirit, Now, he's quoting Jesus up till verse 39. Verse 39 is an explanation of verse 37 and 38. So he was quoting Jesus. He was giving us an eyewitness account of Jesus. But verse 39, this is John, who is writing after Jesus rose from the dead to explain what those verses and those statements mean. So John now said, when Jesus was speaking, and he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, which those who believe on him should what? Receive. Because the Holy Ghost, who is the river of living water, was not yet, or he hasn't yet come, because Jesus was yet to be what? Glorified. Hallelujah. So when Jesus told them, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you can say until the Holy Ghost is come. What will the Holy Ghost do? It will guide you into all truth. Anybody can see a vision, not everybody can explain it. You are not safe to explain until you understand the resurrection. By the time you see Peter explain this vision, he never mentioned Elijah and Moses again. Amen. But they said they saw Elijah and Moses. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter does not mention Elijah and Moses. He said, we heard his voice from excellent glory, and we saw him upon the holy mountain. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. What's that? The scriptures. To explain to us. So when he said, I saw Elijah and Moses, that was their limitation. That was the understanding they had at that time. Because what does Elijah and Moses represent? The law and the prophets. And God said, here, this my beloved son, hear ye him, or if you are reading law and prophets, you don't see my son, you are not reading well. If you understand the son, let me see your hand. That is all that was communicated by that vision. If you are reading the law and the prophets, and you don't see my son as their message, you are not reading well. So this my beloved son, and you can look away from the law and the prophets, you can focus on my son. In fact, it will make sense of the law and the prophets to you. Hear ye him. Don't tell the vision until the Son of Man is written, or until you have received the Holy Ghost. Or let me put it in this language, until you can speak in tongues. Don't tell the vision. Until you can speak in tongues. Don't tell the vision. Because there's an education. They spoke for 3 hours. Then Peter got up and gave a concise sermon, capturing thoughts from the prophets together. How do you think he got there? It was in the message he had spoken out by tongues. That means in 3 hours, Peter had first preached a sermon in tongues before he preached it in understanding. He had been edified. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself. You're built up. You're strengthened. You are in your full spiritual capacity. You are standing in your office. God has borrowed your lips now. He's speaking through your mouth. His compassion has taken over. So 3,000 people will be saved, even though you don't have any microphone. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself. Why would they need to speak in tongues before the first soul was won? Don't you think that's significant? The first soul was ever won. They needed to speak first. 120 people. And they spoke. Yet only one person preached among them directly. Peter, who represented the old church. And he spoke. There was so much power because he said power to save souls. And he gave step-by-step explanation. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. I'll pour out of my spirit upon your sons and daughters. They shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. So there were signs, manifestations of power that took place. I want to take you back to something I want to show you there because, sir, go back to that Matthew chapter 17 again. I want to show you something. Verse 5. Let me show you something. Woo! Glory to God. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Why did he speak? Who was speaking? The voice. Or why Peter was speaking, rather? Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. That's the glory of God. And behold, the voice out of the cloud, which said, this might be lost on a woman, well, please hear ye him. And when disciples heard it, they did what? They fell on their face and were so afraid. That's what we call falling under power today. Notice that they fell on their face. Now look at the next verse. And Jesus came and touched them and said, what? Arise. If he didn't touch them, they wouldn't get up. You know, it's very interesting. People still wonder about falling under power today and they still question it. Whatever you question, you'll never be able to walk in the fullness of it. You won't be able to walk in the fullness of it. It is documented in the history of the church that falling under the power is a sign and a manifestation of God's power in meetings and gatherings. The first time it occurred in the ministry of John Wesley, he used to preach, was a very preacher, a father of Methodism, Methodist Church. He said he was preaching one day and suddenly a woman collapsed and fell forwards. He didn't understand the phenomenon, he didn't know what it was about. He said everybody was wondering, is it a spell? They didn't know. A doctor came to examine the person. And the doctor said, well, she's okay, she's fine, she's breathing well, but she's under some kind of spell. That was the understanding. He said there was a hypnotist in the congregation who said, can I examine her? He examined. He said, yeah, but she's okay. No, this is not hypnotism. It's not hypnotism. There's something else. There seems to be a higher power that's functioning. So they asked John Wesley, it's good for a preacher to say, I don't know everything. Is it God? I don't know. Is it Satan? He said, I don't know. He said, but if you hang around a little while, whoever does it will get the glory for it. So they waited for 45 minutes in the Methodist church. When God's power is moving, nobody wants to go home. After 45 minutes, he began to stare. The first thing was, glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. I said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And then she came out and spoke about Jesus coming to meet her and taking her to the glory realm on an adventure. Wouldn't you like to fall under that kind of power? It now became a consistent experience in his meetings. Both sinners and unbelievers will fall under power. Unbelievers will fall and get saved. Believers will fall and have adventures in the heavens with Jesus. It began to occur regularly. Charles G. Finney had experiences also. He was preaching in courtyards. It became so common and so consistent that whenever he preaches in the courtyards, those are the courtyards of houses, he will ask young men who want to hear him. They will climb into it. They come down from those people. I start preaching, well, you're going to fall. Power of God will eat you. 300 people at once under the power of God. And when we don't yield and embrace those operations, we will not see them in their fullness. As long as you are questioning and you don't recognize this, the disciples were under the power. Jesus touched them. I've experienced it several times before. People came under the power of God and the ushers called me, sir. You put her there, come and release her. I said, I didn't put her there. Jesus put her there. And I will touch them by laying hands and they will come out of it. They will come out of it. It happens in our meetings. A young man came here some years ago and was in Aruna. And when he was leaving, there was this kind of awe in his voice. Very tall fellow, over 6 feet. And the way he was greeting and he was going, bless you, man of God. Bless you, man of God. So I asked Joshua, what happened to my man? He said, in the only Holy Ghost meeting, that they saw him hugging the pillar. I said, what did he say happened? He said, something tried to push me down. Thank God he said someone. The power of God was so strong. He fell way down. What should have done? Just have yielded. Because it's the Holy Ghost who will force you. They were under the power and Jesus had to touch them before they were released. Peter Cartwright was a holiness Methodist preacher in those days. If you know anybody about holiness preachers, this guy was about 6'4" and used to wear cardboard boots, making 6'5" or so at least an inch. And he used to go horseback riding from circuit to circuit, country to country in the US back in those days. And when he was on this journey, when he was traveling, got to a particular inn. You know what an inn is? Where it was special. So, took a room. And when was the room? This was a worldly inn where people held dances in the evenings. And he said to me, Holy Ghost, go for the dance. He said, eh? Go for the dance. He said, yeah, go for the dance. But he knows the voice of the Holy Ghost. So, he went for the dance. He didn't know why he was going to go there. This is a holiness preacher. Like saying, in deeper life now, should go to a lounge or a bar. You want to. So, he got there. And he was still wondering what to do about it. Then a young lady came up to him, courtesy. And held out her hand, inviting him to dance. The minute she did so, the Holy Ghost told him exactly what to do. So he held her hands, and he had a booming voice, but they know a microphone knows this. And before everybody was about to start the dance, they were just waiting to just start. As well as, again, listen, he said, I never do anything without praying. Let's pray. And the voice was heard over the place. He said, I held her hand and knelt down and began to pray. I started with the drummer, percussionist, one by one. I pray for the hidden. I pray for the lost. Until I began to pray, Lord, save the sinners, save all the sinners that are here. So I started hearing the voice. So he started hearing, thought, until everybody was under the power of God. Everybody. So the last person was the woman, lady was holding. He left her hand, she felt that thought. Everybody in that place got saved that day. Won't you like to follow under the power? It was a common phenomenon. The book of Ezekiel speaks about Ezekiel falling under the power and he saw the glory of God. Daniel said, I had no more strength in me. And Daniel fell under the power of God. So falling under the power was a remarkable, was a continuous experience in scripture. It's one of the signs of Jesus' resurrection, of God's power. In other words, Higgins said this way, he said, when the supernatural comes under with the natural, something has to give way and it cannot be the supernatural. Hallelujah. I remember my mother told me years ago, a minister came to our local assembly back then. This was around 94. And she was a skeptic about some of those things. Like just pushing them down. I'm not going to farm. They're just pushing them down. I was laughing at her. I didn't say anything. This was not the pastor of the assembly now. This was a guest minister. The man came. And God has a wonderful sense of humor. The man was using oil to touch people. When he got to her, I don't know why, he did not even touch her. Just wait. Then they were packing my mother from the floor. You know, she says, no, it can never be. Ah, how did I get here? Now, the way she was questioning was not with mockery or unbelief. What is this really, really real? There's an inquisitiveness that is okay. There's one that is mockery. When you mock, you will not expect God's power. We won't. Funny power was one sign. Mara would utter. And I'm saying those things because we're about to experience them in a greater measure. Because the gospel has to be preached supernaturally. She was preaching the gospel one day. And when she was preaching, she just got glued by the power of God into one place this way. She was making a sign. And she was making an illustration and she got glued. And for 3 days, she stood there. It was recorded in the Library of Congress. 150,000 people took 3 days to come and watch the woman who was glued to one spot. On the third day, she continued the message as though it was just a few seconds. She didn't know she had been there for 3 days. But people that came to watch, they were getting saved. Because they could see this. Why does God do things like that as a sign that he's still alive? Our physical senses were suspended. How do you think Moses' body could be without food for 40 nights when he went to the mountain? It was in the glory of God. If physical senses were suspended, he didn't need food in that realm. And you are counting 40 days. Moses was counting just like an hour. Realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's how it is over there. By the power of God. And there were testimonies of people also who had that experience. There was a man who was constantly mocking. We're going on the street. We just like this. He was mocking the experience that he saw. He got to a street corner of his house. Just like this. He just couldn't move again. And they had to call. You don't know how ridiculous it is. But like the first one you're in. And they had to call them to come and pray for him. And they said, do you believe about God? I believe. Before he was released, hallelujah. Say, I believe in the power of God. Say, I believe in the power of God. Everything that God brings my way, I believe and I receive it. Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26. Paul's testimony is there. Paul says, I saw a light above the brightness of the sun. Oh my goodness. How many of you can look at the sun face to face when it's shining? What happens to your eyes? Imagine a light above the brightness of the sun. What kind of light is that? Paul said there was a light. In that light, every hatred in me melted. I fell down a sinner. I rose up a soul winner. That's what happened to Saul. He said, a light above the brightness. Actually, see, Paul said, when we were all falling to the earth, all of them fell to the earth. But only I heard the voice, and I saw the Holy One. Who was telling me, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why won't you call him Lord? He said, who are thou, Lord? Won't you say, Lord, also for you? Lights above the brightness of the sun. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I began to study and began to study some of those experiences. Because in my varsity days, when the power of God would come upon me, sometimes in meetings, ushers will carry me, so to speak, to lay hands, because I won't be able to stand properly. So I've never mocked because I've seen them walk, and I've seen lives of people change. There were signs that God's presence was there. Because when the power of God comes heavily upon you sometimes, your limbs will not work. I see remember Pastor D, one of those meetings. The one that happened recently, I'm talking about 2002 or 2001. I went to greet him. I said, Pastor B, so good to see you. I'm sorry I'm not getting up. My feet are glued to the floor. He just finished the Holy Ghost, his feet was glued to the floor. You don't experience things like that before. Have a desire for it. When you do, you will taste God's power. I still remember this lady also, that one of those meetings, she went under the power. I've mentioned it several times. 6 hours, she didn't stay. We had to put her in a car for some ladies to carry her to the house. And we're praying for them that police will not stop them. How will you explain that the person like this, say, why are you carrying a dead person to? She's not dead. Hello, what's your name? And she was in the car. And we just finished meeting that night. And it happened during the meeting. She was telling about during the meeting. I was the one who carried her on my shoulder. Because she was a bit big. And ladies couldn't carry her. I put her in the car, in the back seat, while the two ladies carried her to their house. I don't know how they got out of their car. I've done my part. Then they told us later that she came to, in quote, around 2 a.m. And she didn't speak to anybody until she saw me the next day. I began to narrate. She was out under the power. She knew what happened in the meeting. And she was telling me what happened in the meeting the next day that Jesus showed her. Because Jesus was showing her things. Why are we not having some of those things? Because we don't expect them to happen. And we should expect them to happen. We should expect it. We should look forward to it. These are our inheritance. This is what Jesus called us into. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the realm that changes things. That changes outcomes. That realm. The realm of the supernatural. Where utterance will be given. And things will be shown to you. And adjustment will be made. And negative things that was meant to come to pass will be averted supernaturally. Glory to God. Yeah. I still remember the testimony. And I've heard Reverend Kenny Higgins speak about that testimony too one day, like that, for of a similar experience. And this old man, this old evangelist, Baba Isaac Omoleyin, how many of you know him? Was speaking about that testimony. He said it was in 1984. He said, I've been praying since that time. To have it again, it hasn't happened again. He said, the crowd was not much. And I don't know why some of those happen in small meetings. If you're not careful, you almost die only in small meetings. He said it was a gas lamp that we're using for the meeting. And power of God came down. He said everybody in the senior section, sitting on the chair, the chairs went up carrying them, dumped them at the altar, and chairs folded back. Will you go home? Everybody saw it. Carried all the sinners, dumped them at the altar, no altar call. And it just folded and went back to their place. When you have meetings like that, you will not want anything under you again in your life. I'm telling you, a young man ran into a church and he said, I was walking on the street and I saw a ball of fire come down from heaven and stood in front of me. And the ball of fire seemed to indicate I should follow. And I followed that ball of fire and entered into this church. I want to be saved today. Signs and wonders. That's our everything in Christ Jesus. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. A woman praying in the spirit in a kitchen. A young man that he adopted as a son who had just gotten saved, who was still using certain negative habits. She was praying in the kitchen, praying in tongues, praying in the spirit, by the help of the spirit. And she saw this young man enter into a club, about to go back to his old ways. As he entered, she began to pray in the spirit. As the Holy Spirit, as she was praying and praying, she saw the young man step into the club and stepped out again. Something compelled him to come back. And when the young man got home, I said, Mom, I had a great victory today. He said, yes, I know what happens. How is that for supernatural parenting? Why you tell your son, you can never go in court. It's not possible. Anybody that wants to invite you will fall by fire. And so it's not possible. When you tell your son what your son has been doing last week, maybe you just want to say, eh. When you know your parents know where you will be, you will behave yourself. You know, this one I hear, don't go a bad gang. Don't go a bad gang. Settle it supernaturally. Use that language, that wavelength of glory of God to control and to surround them with the power of God. Hallelujah. They are hemmed in on every side. As the mountains are about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about these people forever. Hallelujah. So they cannot make a mistake. They can't take a step out of turn. Their steps are supernaturally ordered. Because you are connected to God continuously. That's life of God. That's life that God wants us to live. Hallelujah. These are signs. Now follow those who have been immersed into the glory of God. I can tell you stories from now till tomorrow. One after the other. Experiences along the line. When the parlor, sumo, mimbre, kisto, suprada, katia, nekuru, mumbu, ma, sefredile, nishtegia, na sitikia. A helping hand by the ingress of God. A helping hand. Just a little helping hand. And what you long desired, it will comfort. It will comfort. It will first look like reproach. That's how it will appear, but do not despair. I'm talking to you. But the season of reward is here. The season of reward is here. You will be rewarded. Your heart will be glad. It will be glad. So when it first appears like a reproach, rejoice. Rejoice. There's something else behind it. There's something else beyond it. Your season of reward is here. And you'll be greatly rewarded by the finger of God. I brought you together for destiny. I brought you together for a divine purpose. When you asked and I answered, that's what I had in mind. There's what you prayed for. There's what I had in mind. Now, what I had in mind is about to come to pass. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. It's a union for destiny. It's a union to fulfill my plan and my purpose. Get ready and let your hand be strengthened in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, when I'm speaking that way, two things happen. I know and I see supernatural. What do I mean by that? I mean, my senses are heightened. I can see in the realm of the spirit from time to time like that. Someone says, how did I get in? What did I first do? I spoke in tongues. What does the Bible say about those who speak in tongues? He that speaketh in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto who? For no man understandeth. Does God understand? So who brought me to that realm? Jesus did. So tongues is the language between Father and Son. Hallelujah. Tongues is the language between Father and Sons. There are things the Father wants to do that he will say to the Son, and he will show the Son. And the Son will become the hand and the eyes and the ears of the Father for that thing to be done. That's what tongues also is. It's a supernatural language, a means of communication. To those who are on school, it sounds like gibberish. Those who are schooled, that's the glory of God coming forth. It means a language that did not come into expression until Jesus rose from the dead. That means a language that can only communicate the magnitude of the resurrection of Jesus. That's what it means. So it's a big kilo. Mundroste. Frestele kuto. Madala nini shitu. Nabasite nia. Aso, aso, aso. I don't know what it is. We need dollars. Somebody needs dollars. I don't know what it is you want to do. Okay, you are the one. Okay, I've seen you. Okay, I've seen you also. Hallelujah. The reason why I don't ask you to come out so that you won't, there won't be spotlight on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, the angels are here. And they will cause it to come. Yeah, they will cause it to come. They've been here since the meeting started. Well, they're always here. When I say they've been here, I mean I've been seeing and sensing them since the meeting started. And they're here to bring about supernatural provisions. And provisions will come your way. Listen, you will not be stuck, you will not be stranded. Provisions will come your way. New deals will come. New offers will come. You will suddenly be remembered. Remembered for good in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, it will come. It will come. And it will not fail to come. Ah, my Mike, your wife come. You did something for the kingdom, and God says to bless you. It was a huge seed. He says to bless you. He says the heart is already in place. The heart is already in place. It's already in place. Now, not just for this nation, but for nations. Not just for this nation, but for nations. Four nations to take the light, to take the glory, to take the power, and to show men the way of old, the way to get things done, how to trust God, how to lean on Him alone, how to not be ashamed in situations of life. So may that grace, according to His leading, His guidance, come upon you mightily in the name of the Lord Jesus. That may be a new day, a new dawn, and a new season for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Do not be overtly concerned about the issue of conception. When I begin the work, I'll finish it. I'll finish it. I'll finish it. Said the Lord. By my hand, I'll finish it. That no man will take glory, I'll finish it. It doesn't matter what the doctor says, I will finish it. I'll finish it. I'll finish it. Your testimony is not gone. Your testimony is here. Because it shall be full, and I'll finish it. I'll finish it. Well, I don't fully know what that means, but I keep hearing, I'll finish it. I'll finish it. So don't be bothered. I'll finish it. He says, I will finish it. I'll finish it. I've started. I've begun. I'll make an end. I'll finish it. And your heart shall be glad. Your heart shall be glad. Your heart shall be glad. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, as you challenge your teaching a subject like this. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So, where were we now? Hallelujah. Which scriptures were we in? Okay, let me show you one more scripture before I go. Is that okay? Ezekiel, I have left. Tongues has left me in some matters now. Because the Spirit of God seems to be calling attention to wonders, to signs and wonders. And that in the season that we're in, we should expect supernatural signs and what? Wonders. Yeah, because part of the resurrection. But tongues is a doorway into the supernatural. Tongues is just that doorway. It's a door into all of that realm. Angelic activities, movements of the power of God, divine provisions. Tongues is a doorway into all of that. So, tongues is something Jesus deliberately gave to us so that even when you're not feeling spiritual, you can activate, you can consciously step into and know you are in the realm where signs and wonders take place. It's a gift of God. That's why the early church began. Nobody could predict or knew that when they started that with 3,000 people would be saved. But Peter told us, in that tongue were visions. In that tongue were divine visitations. In that same language. Why? Because the language of a civilization above the face of the earth. I want to show you something. I pray that I can remember that scripture in Ezekiel chapter 2. Look at Ezekiel's testimony. I'm going to read, first of all, from Ezekiel chapter 1, And I read from verse 28. That's the last verse of chapter 1. This, as the appearance of the bow that's in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I did what? I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake unto me. And he said unto me, I'm reading from chapter 2 now. Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I'll speak with thee. Notice, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my foot. And I heard the voice of him that spoke. So Ezekiel fell under power. Ezekiel was also raised up by power. You get what I said? If he fell under power, he was also raised up by power. That means the power of God can do both. Under power, and he was also raised up by power. Now, we don't have enough time today. I will have shown you that there are times when a man is, so to speak, struck dumb by the Spirit. When you cannot speak. And it's meant to be a sign. It's meant to be a sign. That you cannot speak. You want to preach, you cannot speak. And when you cannot speak, now, it has happened in a measure in our meetings, because a number of us did not know that was what was happening. I had a message prepared. I ran out of worship and I could not teach. How many of them there for? Okay, so I prayed. You know when you pray, only not good. So why was I praying? So that I will not teach. And then when I wasn't teaching, I wasn't saying anything. And the power of God was freely flowing. So while I'm not able to speak, the power is moving as a confirmation of why I couldn't speak. I hope you understand. Now, if you are too cut and dried, you are too by the letter, by the book, you will force yourself to preach. And you can't get it done. It's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. You can't get the work done. Now, things God can get done when you are quiet, then 5 years of shouting can accomplish. That's the truth. I can get done when you are quiet. So that means a preacher too must learn. When the power of God comes upon you and you know you cannot, then don't force it. Whatever it tells you to do, do. That's where the miracles will come from. You learn it to obey. Let me follow those instructions. That's the secret of consistent miracles, particularly flowing in the local assembly, where God wants to do miracles on a consistent basis. On a consistent basis. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And all he paid for is also alive. And it's working for me. It's working for me. I said it's working for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So these are the things that we need to be careful of this season. To step over into the overflow, to step into the fullness of what God has planned and prepared for us. You are an emissary of the gospel, an ambassador of the supernatural. But as you begin to speak more of the plans, you see, there are things God wants to say to you that he will say to you when you speak consistently with him in tongues that your natural mind can't capture right now because you are not in position. There are activities that will take place. I think I was sharing one of us, I know when I was midweek service, and I said, Noble House started in 2008 and officially commissioned in 2009. But 2006, for a period of 2 years, I was praying, just praying, praying. I was told in 2006 that it would come, but I prayed for 2 years because I needed to be ready. I needed to be in place. The time also needed to be perfect because I can't do it in the energy of the flesh. So the things of God, like, but how did I get the instruction? I was praying in the Spirit. Just like John would say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's name. That means he was speaking in tongues. As he was speaking, then his understanding was immersed in the instructions God wanted to give to him. Directions. Step by step, what you do will start coming your way. Many of us, the way it occurs is that you've spent some time praying in tongues, you just start taking decisions, and the decisions are interpreting all the things you prayed out in the Spirit. You know that your own wisdom won't take that kind of decision. How many of you have been there before? Won't take that kind of decision. Your own wisdom won't take it. That kind of decision. So the wisdom came after a prolonged season of praying in the Spirit. That means what you prayed out in the Spirit is what you are living out now in the natural life. Connections, associations. Some associations die, some come alive. Because God is, so to speak, as you're praying, he has mastery over your life and events that will take place as you're praying. Because as you're praying, you're yielding. And if a man's tongue is easier to God, that man's life is easier to God. Because your tongue controls your life. So the more I yield my tongue to God, my life. So even if I don't feel like going to Dubai, and Dubai is how God will promote me, I will speak for Dubai in tongues. Okay, you're not hearing me now. Hallelujah. I've never had any plans to go to Senegal. And Senegal is how God will promote me. You will say it out in tongues. Because if you say it in understanding, in fact, you will swallow it. If I tell you that, Brian, God will have you go to Burkina Faso. You will think twice before you say amen. Or I say, Burkina Faso is good. They say, God wants to go to Chad, eh? That same God, can he mention Canada? And now, that's your natural way of business. Like, when the same God can mention Canada? Why did he mention Chad? Of all places. Eh? Why did he mention Chad? And I go to Apostle. Not speaking about Edinburgh. And he say, eh. So, meanwhile, the promotion that he wants and plans for you may be in Dubai, may be in Senegal. But because in your natural reasoning, you don't think that is increase or promotion, you will resist it. So he will let you say those things out in tongues. You will give information in tongues and he begins to put things in place. Then when you have agreed sufficiently enough, he will let you come to your understanding. Some of us have prayed ourselves out of negative relationships. The guy you are swooning over, TDH, good guy, so to speak. Very kind, generous with funds. You know, transfer. I know the language. Transfer. And God says, and God knows that you are going the wrong way. There's a pit there that I cannot see. And when you were praying one morning, you were telling God, only your will, Lord. Only your will, Lord. That's why you're saying tongues. Only your will, Lord. Suddenly, all the, so to speak, infatuation, which for no reason, just don't want to hear from me again. He has changed your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and the word grant you the desires of your heart. If God does these things for us, but only when you're sincere. So he's given us a language that can help us to walk in his will and live in his spirit at the same time. So that his praise and his praise alone will be seen in our lives. Well, lift up your heads this morning and thank him. Thank you for this priceless gift. Thank you for this grace. Somebody has a hair problem. I don't know whether it's just pain or an infection. But hair is blowing to it right now. Hair is blowing to it right now. And the pain and discomfort is gone. It makes you feel unbalanced sometimes. Like you lose your balance sometimes. But right now, that discomfort is leaving. Both ears are unblocked completely. That sensation, that roaring sensation is gone. That sound is gone. Your ears are clear. And you are made whole. And you are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name.